And Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, even unto the death of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Today we enter into solemn time of meditation upon the mighty acts whereby we have been rescued by the Redeemer. And it is a solemn time, and also, because of what Christ has done for us, a joyful time. We see the transformation of the injuries and the insults and all the torture that was brought upon our Lord Jesus and upon his death. We see it transformed by the power of his love. Indeed, we see in it the means of our rescue from death and from sin and the enemy of Satan into the glorious company of the saints in light, into the gift of everlasting life. And so here we see the power of God, who is love. If we look carefully in the readings this week and in all that unfolds as we recount the history of our Lord Jesus in that week of his suffering and death, we see writ large the love of God. We see the love of God the Father, who gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see the love of God the Father, who is willing to sacrifice his only begotten Son. We remember the account of the command of God to Abraham when he commanded that he sacrifice his only son Isaac, the only son of Abraham. And in that moment, God stayed his hand by an angel and provided a ram for the sacrifice. So God goes further than that which he would ask man to do. He gives his only son. We see the love of God the Son, who leaves his highest place in heaven, humbles himself to become one of us, enters into our human history and becomes man, and then suffers all the indignities that we see in the passion narrative and death for our sake upon the cross. We see him enter into our human history with pity for our human race, which is disintegrating because of its rebellion against God and his love. And so, seeing man begin to fall into the nothingness from which he was created, God the Son moved with love toward us, and we see his love poured out for us upon the cross. We also see writ large in the readings this week, and as we recount the history of our salvation, we see the love of God, the Holy Ghost, who is moving through history in all these things, moving in our own hearts, in our own lives, to bring us the gifts of grace that have been won for us on the cross by the gift to us of our faith and by the sacraments of Holy Church. So we see love this week. We see love in Holy Week, the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here we have opportunity to see the transformative power of God's love, of what it can do. Years ago, I used to sing one of the hymns, 335, at bedtime as a lullaby, and to our daughters. And it was 335 is Caswell, and it starts out, "Glory be to Jesus," and it's got a very sweet melody, "who in bitter pains poured for me the life blood from his sacred veins." And somebody might say, whoa, wait a second, what kind of lullaby is that, you know? Pouring of lifeblood from veins, I mean, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it? Well, yes, it is, but we see in that fountain grace that is able to undo the sin, the wickedness, and the violence of this world. It is that blood that was shed for the remission of sins, and we see it central and prominent in the Christian faith in a way that we cannot whitewash this away or somehow not mention it. It is foundational to our Christian faith, the shedding of the Savior's blood. And we see it if we look at the New Testament over and again. There are 3 times as many mentions of the blood of Christ in the New Testament as there are mentions of his death. That's significant. And we see all the apostles make reference to it in all the gospel lessons, of course. And listen closely to these important teachings of the apostles on, and St. Paul, apostle born out of due time, and the other epistles on the centrality of the blood sacrifice of Christ. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. From the 13th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, showing the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, a prefiguration of that which will come in its fullness. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. And what do we see in that sacrifice of Christ? The fullness of the sacrificial system, or the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. So now we come here to this altar to plead that one true and complete sacrifice for the sins of the world. No other sacrifices are necessary after the sacrifice of Christ to unify us with the Father. That work has been done. It is accomplished now by what Christ has done. And here we see the gift of the atonement. We are now at one with God. The at-one-ment, the atonement has been accomplished by his blood sacrifice. So it is for us a grace-filled event, what Christ has done for us. We also see the words of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20, verse 28. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Christ has paid that price with his own blood. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. Colossians 1, verse 19 through 20. Another reference to the atonement. God, through Christ and by his blood sacrifice, has brought peace. And if we could only see that, all the distress in this world, all the sin in this world, God can bring peace to us through what Christ has done upon the cross. Or from St. Peter, 1st Epistle, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. You know that you were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So God has redeemed you and me, not with perishable things, things that are transitory like silver or gold, or even mountains of silver or gold. No, he has done it with the precious blood of Christ. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me and for you the lifeblood from his sacred veins. If we properly understand what Christ is doing, we can see the gift of grace that he gives to our human race in the redemption, that he is bringing us to the fullness of the kingdom of heaven where there is no more sin. Right now, we live in a fallen world where our human race is tearing at itself, pulling itself apart in warfare and strife and the ways that the people sin against each other. Christ has come to carefully knit back together our human race into one body, the church, the body of Christ, that we may be one again. And that process, that redemption is happening even now in the work of Christ and the redemption that we are experiencing in the sacramental life of the church and by faith. And we await the fullness of that coming day of peace when all sin will be banished. So by a great power, by the great power of love, we see the blood of Christ washing away the sins of the world. And so Pilate, when he condemns Christ to be crucified and he washes his hands, right? I'm not guilty of the death of this just man. Is he able to cleanse himself and wash himself with that water? No. There is no efficacy to this hand washing. It's symbolic, and he's trying to say it's not my business, but yes, crucify him, not my business. Oh, there is no remedy for sin that we can come up with, no amount of washing that can wash away the stain. It's only the blood of Christ that can wash that away. And the saints make their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And we are nourished and fed and strengthened indeed by that blood. We have the cup offered to us, that blood of the New Testament, which Christ gives to us. Jesus, who says, "Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so indeed, we see the precious blood of Christ central to our faith. That hymn is beautiful in its application and understanding of how we are blessed personally by the sacrifice of Christ, by the blood sacrifice of Christ. "Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind." This is for you and for me, the infinite kindness of Christ, which is brought to us through the gift of his blood sacrifice. "Blessed through endless ages be the precious stream, which from sin and sorrow doth the world redeem." We see the particularity applied to us personally. We see the universality of Christ's sacrifice for the whole world, bringing our human race out of sin into the righteousness, his righteousness, out of death into life, out of darkness into his own glorious light. There's a beautiful phrase that is written by the poet George Herbert, Anglican priest, I believe 17th century. He says in his poem, "Agony, a Reflection on the Cross," he says, "Who knows not love, who knows not love, let him essay, let him try. Let him essay and taste that juice which on the cross a pike did set abroad. And then let him say, if ever he did, taste the like. Love is that liquor sweet and most divine, which my God feels as blood, but I as wine." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.